Take your Bibles, if you would, again to the book of Luke. Book of Luke, where we've been now for well over a year and a half. The book of Luke, chapter 19, take it, if you would, please, and we'll begin reading at verse 45. Let's stand together. Luke 19, 45. And he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, it is written, my house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him and could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. And it came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel. You know, if Jesus Christ preached the gospel, I think I should also. And preached the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes came upon him with the elders and spake unto him, saying, tell us, by what authority dost thou these things? Or who is he that gave thee this authority? And he answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, now that of course is John the Baptist, the baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this day in which we can look into your word. We thank you for the songs that have been sung. We thank you for the offering that we could give. And Lord, we just pray now that as we pay attention to the words, may they be a blessing to us. May the Spirit move and convict. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Just a friendly reminder. As I said earlier, Christmas is only 11 months away. But may I say this, you that made New Year's resolutions, keep going. I mean, you still are doing them, right? I heard a no over there. Just a word of encouragement. They say the average New Year's resolution lasts 3 weeks. I hope that if you made one, you're still plugging along. In Luke 19, verses 45 through 48, we have recorded for our knowledge the beginning of the last days of the life of Jesus. He's come back to Jerusalem, and he has gone into the temple, and once again he has tried to cleanse it, tried to remove that which was anti his purpose. But we find that with this, there came a later day in which Jesus was questioned by the Sanhedrin. He would then, and as we will in the next few weeks see in chapter 20, he gave the parable of the husbandman, and he directs it at certain people. This was followed by a question concerning tribute money. Then we have the reading from Matthew 11, 27 through 38, where we find the Sadducees try their luck confronting Jesus as they question him about the resurrection. And Jesus said to them that God is the God of the living and not the dead. Later that day, Jesus questions the scribes concerning David and his relationship with the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Christ. And his desire was to get them to believe this. Jesus then warns his listeners concerning the scribes, verses 45 through 47. In fact, let's read those right now. Luke 20, 45 through 47. Then in the audience of all the people, he said unto his disciples, beware of the scribes, which desire to walk in long robes, and love greetings in the markets and the highest seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses for a show, make long prayers. The same shall receive greater damnation. And to end this particular day in which Jesus is in the temple, he watches the people as they cast their gifts into the treasury. And he watches one particular giver, an older widow, who only gives two mites, and we say only because it's all she had. And he said to them that were there that the rich cast in of their abundance. And we find that Jesus is impressed by what we do give. For the Bible clearly tells us that God loves what? A cheerful giver. But now we're going to find on a certain day, verse 1 of chapter 20. And it came to pass that on one of those days, usually when someone says, I've had one of those days, it's usually not a good thing. The other day I was there at the gym and Rudy came and he got on the treadmill beside me over here at Planet Fitness. And I looked at him and he said it was one of those days. And I don't think, Rudy, you thought it was one of those good days. You know, we have those days and, you know, we think, uh-oh, this just isn't good. Up in verse 47 of chapter 19, it says, and he taught daily. And verse 1 of chapter 20 says, and it came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel. So try to get it in your mind's eye that Jesus is there and he's talking to the audience. He is talking, he's teaching them, and he's preaching the gospel. And the chief priests and the scribes and the elders come upon him. And they have not come with friendship in their heart. They have not come with love in their eyes. They've come with anger. They have come with a question. And we'll see that in a moment. This Sanhedrin was composed of by the elders, the high priests, and the scribes. The scribes, of course, were those who copied the Old Testament law, the prophetical and poetical books, the history. And that's what they did, and they were very ceremonious in their behavior. They would wash themselves oftentimes before writing the word Jehovah. They didn't want to do anything that was contrary to the scriptures, and many times they had a false opinion about who they were. Some would call them self-righteous. And these came, this body of Jewish people called the court of justice or the council, and came to Jesus with questions. Now, they weren't the only ones that would come. The Pharisees would come, the Sadducees would come, the Herodians would come, all of them coming, trying to entangle Jesus by asking him question after question. We've all seen some TV program or a movie where someone is in a court of law and they're in the witness box and the lawyer is trying to discredit them and asking them question after question, trying to trick them. How many of you have ever gone and had an eye test and the doctor says, is one better than two? And you think to yourself, is this a test? Am I going to get a buzz if I get the wrong answer? And then they say, is three better than four? And I'm thinking, I don't know. But they're trying to entangle Jesus by asking him questions. Their desire was to extract from him an answer to one of their questions, which would compromise him either with the people or with the Jewish or Gentile authorities. And so they come with two questions. And he's going to answer their two questions with a question. This is a very typical Jewish way. And, you know, someone asks you a question, you ask them one in return. But let's read verses 2, 3, and 4. And spake unto him, saying, tell us, by what authority dost thou these things? Or who is he that gave thee this authority? And he answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Number one, by what authority dost thou these things? May I say this? We need to realize that Jesus Christ has full authority. That in the church, Christ has full authority. That if Jesus says it's this way, it's this way. And that we should not be looking for loopholes or looking for an area of escape. When Jesus says something, we need to listen. And he has the final authority. Who gave you this authority? Well, who gave it to him? God the Father sent him. So God sent God, for Jesus Christ is God. And he comes on our behalf, but he comes with authority. He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He has put his truth, his word above his name, and his name is all powerful. And we find that he comes and he tells them, or that they come asking him, by what authority and who gave you this authority? And Jesus answers their question. The baptism of John, John the baptizer, John the forerunner, John the cousin of Jesus Christ. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or was it of men? Let's read verses 5 through 8. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then believest ye not or him not? But, and if we say of men, all the people will stone us, for they be persuaded that John was a prophet. And they answered that they could not tell whence it was. And Jesus said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. The dilemma, the quandary that was facing the Sanhedrin here was they didn't know how to answer his question. Now, Jesus could answer theirs. He could have easily said, my Father has sent me. He gives me authority. But he knew that they sought to destroy him. And so he answered their question with a question. And they are suddenly put into a position to admit that they didn't believe John. That they were not his follower. And the people would be upset because the people thought John was pretty special. He was a commoner. He didn't show airs. He simply preached the truth. Now, may I say this, when one preaches the truth, it doesn't mean that everyone's going to believe you. In fact, there are some of you right now that may not believe what I'm teaching you. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus has the authority, and they did not want to believe it. We find that it begins with this in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Jesus said, thou art Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. First, Jesus did not build his church on Peter. Aren't you glad that the church isn't built on a human being? I mean, I'll be honest with you. I may pastor this church, but if I were to suddenly die of a heart attack right now, this church would not stop. Now, you may stop the service. I would hope. I would hope. Brother Stephen wouldn't just push me over and take over my notes. But the fact of the matter is, this church, this group, this body of believers would continue because it's not built on Paul Madonna. It is built on Jesus Christ. We find in Matthew 16, 18, a play on words, thou art Peter or Petros, a little rock. And upon this rock, Petra, I will build my church. We need to know that the church is built on something strong and firm, and it's something that will remain. And it has remained. And even when governments have tried to destroy it, it has simply gone underground. And it has continued. In the countries that have banned Bibles and banned Christianity, it continues. And we find that the work continues. Jesus does not promise to build his church on Peter, but upon himself. And Peter agreed with that. Take your Bibles and keeping your place here in Luke, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter knew upon whom the church was built, and he never would have wanted it built upon himself. 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll look at verses 6 and 7. 1 Peter 2, 6 and 7. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. He was the cornerstone. He is the foundation upon which we are here today. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, there would be no reason to be here. If Jesus had only come and we would have celebrated his birth but not his death, there would be no reason to be here. But Jesus Christ died for our sins. He gives us over and over in the Word of God his right of authority. He declares it throughout the Gospels. John said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." There is salvation in none other. As we said in Sunday school, God the Father at the judgment will only accept the shed blood of Christ upon a person and not their works. He will not accept our works to get us into heaven. You can go to every church service. You can go to multiple churches and go to every church service. You could give 100% of your income. You could beat yourself daily and you'd be baptized nightly. It would not get you into heaven. Salvation comes only through Jesus Christ. John 4:10 says that he is the living water. Remember the story. He was there with the woman at the well and he said, "I'll give you living water." Only one with authority can give living water, for he is the creator of water. Jesus, during a discourse with the people, said, "I am the bread of life," following the feeding of the 5,000 men and women and children in John 6:48. He said, "I am the bread of life." He can only fill us spiritually. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God that proceedeth from his mouth. We find that there is physical bread and there is spiritual bread. And we live in a spiritually hungry world, ever searching, never coming to the truth. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." John 8:12. We live in a world that is spiritually blind. We live in a world that is more concerned about the Super Bowl than souls being saved. Now, I'm not saying that the Super Bowl isn't a game that shouldn't be played. I think there's nothing wrong with the fact that one of the teams is going to win on this coming Sunday. Not today, is it? It's next week. One of those teams is going to win. And I'll ask you, how many of you think that Seattle is going to repeat? 4, 5, nobody on this side. How about New England? There's some on both sides. How many of you don't care who wins? There are more hands about people who don't care. Yeah. Interesting. The problem is, I'm rooting for New England. And I'm rooting for Seattle. I don't know who to root for. But may I say this, we should not be more concerned about who wins the Super Bowl than about a soul being saved. See, we live in a world that is spiritually blinded. Other things become so important that we push church, we push the Bible, we push God's people out of our lives. Jesus would later say, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We have so many people today that are caught up in lies. May I say that there's the lies of alcohol. Those people who say, well, the only way you can have a good time is if you got a beer in your hand. I've heard of people and they'll say, well, you know, I don't care if I go to hell as long as I have a six pack and a deck of cards. Now, number one, may I say this, there's not going to be any beer in hell. Number two, you aren't going to be with anybody else. You're going to be by yourself. And through all eternity, you'll remember opportunities that you had to come to Christ. And yet there are those who would rather believe a lie than the truth. They don't want to believe authority. The book of 2 Timothy 3, verse 7 says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You'll find in the bulletin that there's in the insert an opportunity to go to an Answers in Genesis meeting. And it's going to be over in Novi, and you can see the information there. There are people that will not believe the truth of creation because they don't want to believe in God. And so we had to come another way. But we find that the Lord is truth, and he is the creator of the world. In John 10, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He is showing his authority. I have done this, and I will do this, because I am the truth. Jesus said to Martha following the death of her brother Lazarus, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. To Thomas and his disciples, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the way. And on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus told his disciples, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. It was by his authority that he could preach and teach what he did. And they did not acknowledge John the Baptist, and they would not acknowledge him. If you would, we'll close by turning to the book of John chapter 1. John chapter 1. By what authority? He has all authority. May I say this? Some people struggle with authority. Do you struggle with authority? See, if you struggle with authority, you may struggle with the Lord, because we won't want anybody to tell us how to live and what to do. Notice what it says in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word, and he was in the beginning. Verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He is the creator. He has the final authority. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. It did not want to be bothered. just as people today do not want to be bothered. Notice verse 11, he came unto his own and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ came in his own authority, in the authority of God the Father, and with the Holy Spirit. In verse 29, our last verse, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Shall we stand together? Have you given Christ authority in your life? Is he the one that rules and reigns in your life? That's only a decision that you could make. And hopefully you know the answer and that you have given it the right answer. But if you're fighting against God today, we'll give you an opportunity to get right with him, to come to the altar and to pray, to have things right with him. Dear Heavenly Father, at this invitation time, we ask, Lord, that you would bless and may souls be saved and hearts made right. Prepare us, Lord, for the communion time in just a few minutes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.